You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Hello, everybody. How are you guys doing? It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
All right.
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And let us bring you the most interesting tidbits of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we've found.
That's right.
Yep. Very excited to come back, host another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing pretty good myself. Yeah. Ready to go, jam-packed. I got, I'm hopped up on coffee.
Hopped up on coffee.
Thanks to your mom providing me with multiple cups of coffee.
We have an excellent production staff here. Consists of us and my mom.
Yeah. And from time to time, she'll pop in with her opinions, as we've seen
with
before in previous
wise
episodes.
Words of wisdom.
But anyway, thank you to Mike's mom for giving me coffee. I'm ready to go. Woo! All right. Well, how you doing, Mike?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
Anything new happening with you lately?
No, not really. We had the 4th of July last week. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that, you know, America.
That America.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
We're free.
That's right, damn it. America.
Hang on to a dream. That's right.
But we also celebrated my birthday on the 4th of July,
as we do
every year. Yeah,
we gave you the happy
birthday shout out. Yeah, so it was good. How about you? How was your 4th?
It was pretty good. Had the traditional picnic and
lots of burgers and hot dogs.
Yep.
No sausage.
No, according to your dad from last week's episode,
we had sausage.
What you so you broke the
we actually had sausage, yes.
After all of his ranting last week that he wasn't going to have sausages, he actually had sausages.
Well, I don't know if he had sausage. I had sausage. I don't know if he did.
Sausages! Oh my god, sausages! We got all kinds of sausages. Big sausages, little sausages, brown sausages, slightly less brown sausages. All kinds of goddamn sausages! Son of a bitch!
Woo!
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Sausages! Sausages!
That's actually what I asked him. I said, Daddy, would you like some sausages? And he said, no, only hamburgers and hot dogs.
we'll look into that matter later.
It's an official crispy noodle matter that we have
investigation going on. We'll bring you the official update when we have concluded our investigation.
We're like the FBI.
Now, Mr. Costanzo, where were you at the time when the spicy sausage was eaten? we'll continue that investigation later on in the show.
But for right now, we are going to dive into the sports sampler.
Woo! Sports! What do we got?
Well, oh boy, this is not going to go over well with our fans. I guess several weeks ago, we started off the sports sampler by talking about Justin Bieber and the Biebs.
What?
The Biebs, as the kids are calling him these days, is back in the sports news, making everybody angry. Apparently, he touched the Stanley Cup.
What?
I know.
Who gave him permission to do that?
That's what hockey fans all over the U.S. are asking. So apparently he started a whole big, not a big controversy, but a controversy on Twitter. He took a picture of touching the Stanley Cup, and of course, this outraged everyone. Everybody tweeting in their displeasure with the fact that he got to touch the Stanley Cup and how it's infected now. And
For those that don't know, the Stanley Cup actual championship trophy is supposed to be like superstitious,
right?
Like only winners are supposed to touch it. It's bad luck if you're not a winner and you've touched a trophy.
So will this bring?
So someone who is who's producing this music should not be touching the Stanley Cup.
You actually pulled up the music. That's dedication right there.
Yes, we'll have to grin it just in case people don't know who Justin Bieber is. Ugh.
So wait, will this bring him bad luck then?
I guess in theory, yeah.
So
maybe
is that
good?
A good thing?
Maybe it's good.
Maybe.
But, yeah. Just why did he feel the need to touch it?
I don't know. And he also in the background of the picture, he has a jersey with his name on it. It's just...
Well, I don't mind him if he wants to go get a jersey or
it's
anything
just a
and with his name. But yeah, he should not be touching the trophy.
Yeah. Does
Well, wait a minute. He's Canadian, isn't he?
He is.
He's supposed to know this. That's bad luck. All right. That's it. I don't feel sorry for him. Whatever bad luck comes his way, he asked for it.
That's right. He touched the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But he angered a lot of people on Twitter, people sending him messages. One person said, Justin Bieber better get his damn hands off the Stanley Cup. I don't care who you are. A civilian has no right to touch the hockey holy grail.
A civilian. Yeah, you know.
Another person wrote, Justin Bieber has touched the Stanley Cup more times than some of the best hockey players to ever live. Fury.
That is true. That's true. Also part of the superstition behind it.
Somebody said, I want to punch Justin Bieber in the face for even being in the same room as the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, who let that slide by?
Whoever let Justin Bieber near the Stanley Cup needs to be fired immediately. And it just goes on and on.
On the Twitters.
On the Twitters.
Justin Bieber, more like Schmush than Schmiva. Who the hell is Justin Bieber anyway? No, I'm asking because I don't know who the hell it is.
Yeah.
Not even Yeshman knows who he is. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if maybe he didn't know.
I'm sure he probably didn't know.
But I don't know.
He doesn't seem to be the type of person that would be into hockey.
Then why is he in a hockey rink with the Stanley Cup? Who made that decision?
Oh, well, he happened to be in Chicago.
For like a concert or something?
I guess so.
I don't know. It is bad form. I'm so surprised nobody told him.
Yeah.
That tweet is actually right, you know?
Yeah.
Because great players have revered how legendary the trophy is, and they never touched it unless they won it.
And this relative nobody in terms of hockey, he comes in.
In terms of the world.
In terms of the world. I was trying to be a little polite. But yeah, I think it's kind of crazy that they allowed him to touch the trophy like that.
Yeah, I want to know who let him in, who gave him the access.
Somebody with the Chicago Blackhawks, maybe.
Yeah.
It was in the locker room.
Somebody who wanted Justin Bieber tickets.
Hey, let me touch it. I'll give you a couple tickets. Baby, woo! I don't know, whatever he sings.
That was a good impression, I guess.
Thank you. But, yeah, Justin Bieber, I'm sorry. You should have known better.
So, do you think he'll get bad luck because of it?
I don't know. I guess that depends on whether you're superstitious or not.
Are you superstitious?
Maybe. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
It depends. We do listen to you people. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, there you go.
I'm a fan of sometimes. No. Occasionally, if I'm standing during a football game and the Eagles are doing really well, I won't sit down. I'll just stay standing. So there's certain... Yeah.
What? I never heard that before. Yeah. Wait, you...
If
the Eagles are... Wait, so if the Eagles are winning...
It's very rarely. I, like, started this past year, so I really wasn't standing through many games. But if the Eagles are winning and they're doing really well, and I was standing, I tend to stay standing for the whole game. Mostly because I just can't sit down because I'm so excited.
But are you also worried that if you sit down, you will cause the Eagles to be lax in their football performance?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe a
That's
little
interesting.
Bit.
I never heard that before.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit. I'm a fan of like not saying anything too positive about the Eagles while they're playing.
Well, I think that's more of just a cautionary tale.
I think that would like jinx them. The whole, you know, if the same idea of a pitcher is throwing a no-hitter, you don't bring up the no-hitter.
Yeah, you don't want to jinx them.
That's superstitious.
Okay.
Everybody does that. You do that, right?
Yeah. You know, don't mention the no-hitter.
So I guess everybody's a little superstitious when it comes to sports. One year, I had to wear the same jersey every game day.
Yeah, what jersey was it?
It was a Dawkins jersey.
Well, he was a legendary player.
Back when he was actually playing.
Do you have any
superstitious tendencies?
I'm trying to realize this. Now
that you have to do or things that...
Now you're putting me on the spot.
It's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this was not in our rundown.
No.
So this is unscripted.
Well, I know all the things with hockey. I don't know.
You don't do anything superstitious?
I don't do anything personally.
Apparel that you have to wear, maybe a certain seat you always sit in, or maybe a certain food or drink you always have, something that's...
Not really. It's more of I just like it. I like for like if I go golfing, I like to have water with me. But that's not super. I'm trying.
That's a basic human need, Rich.
Oh, whoops.
When I'm watching sports, I am accustomed to breathing oxygen.
Yeah, whoops.
Good job.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. I know.
I always watch my TV, my sports on a TV.
Oh wow.
Oh yes.
Yeah. As opposed to the radio.
Yes. Hey, some people might.
Yeah. Actually, I knew a guy. He lived in South Philly all of his life, and even though he was right by the stadium, and even though he had a TV, whenever the Phillies came on, he always had to listen to it on the radio.
There's something about listening to it on the radio, at least when Harry Callis was still alive.
Yeah, Harry Callis was awesome. He was a famous Philadelphia Phillies broadcaster.
He was also the voice of the NFL Network.
Yes, he was, too.
When they did the videos and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But legendary announcer. Go check him out. But listening to baseball is more exciting than watching it, in my
sometimes,
opinion.
Sometimes, yeah.
Like, if you're at the game, that's the best. But if you're, like, watching on TV, sometimes it gets kind of boring.
I know of other people's superstitions, like Michael Jordan,
right,
always wore his North Carolina shorts even in NBA play. He wore it underneath his Bulls jersey. He thought it gave him good luck.
Obviously
six time NBA champion.
Can we get those shorts for some of our players?
Go up to Michael Jordan's house, just
steal his shorts.
Knock, 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 please help. We need to borrow your talent. It's the plot of Space Jam.
No, we're not going to get back into Space Jam.
No.
But
one mention of Space Jam a year is enough.
Yeah, that's enough. No, we don't need to go to the website.
So you don't have...
Oh, I can make a website. Here's my flashing text.
Yeah, see?
And you said that, right?
I said that, yep.
But I don't know about any others.
So you don't have any personally?
Not really.
You know what
go back to golf, because okay. I've been trying to get back into golf.
Right.
So that's what's fresh in my mind right now. I have to make a marking on my golf ball. But yeah, you're supposed to do that anyway, just in case if you join a golf group and you're playing golf with them and you happen to play the same golf ball as them, you know which one's yours and which one's the other person anyway.
Well, I would do it anyway, too, because golf balls all look pretty similar.
Yeah, but so. each manufacturer is a different, you know, Titleist, Top Flight, stuff like that. I feel very snobbyish now that I'm talking about golf.
Sipping on your coffee, talking about your golf habits.
Yes. Oh, pull out that putting wedge for me, good sir.
Did you go to the country club this weekend?
Yeah. No, I'm too poor. I have to go.
I'm too poor for country clubs.
I'll be right with everyone, right on the driving range. Thank you very much. But I don't know. I guess that's another thing that I do.
Another thing I don't like is assuming, like, when I watch a sports game with my dad will say, oh, they're up by 17. They got this one. And I'll get really angry. I say, don't you say that. Yeah, so I get really angry when he says that. I'm like, you can't.
I feel like that's more of just you don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, well, that's a superstition.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I feel like jinxing, though, is more...
Well, what? Is that like a real science, jinxing?
No, it's not.
That's a superstition.
But I feel like it's more in common with
sports.
Yeah, I think everybody has that fear that you don't want to brag and then it go wrong with you.
Right. Well,
whereas a superstition, I'm trying to think of like weird...
You're thinking of like a habit, like an idiosyncratic habit.
You know, like
that
like
a word.
Yeah, very nice, Mike.
<Thank you. laughs>
Like, didn't you say there was somebody that would drink pickle juice or something before a football game?
Oh, no, that was the Eagles
when
they played Dallas to help them in the heat.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just something like that.
But yeah. Yeah, the only one I can think of is that one year where I wore the same jersey, and recently, if I'm standing during a game, I find that I like to stay standing if the Eagles are doing well.
What's another one?
My mom chimed in that the years that the Eagles have done really well, my dad never watched the games. Instead, he worked on an Excel spreadsheet.
Only those years he worked on an Excel spreadsheet?
The years that the Eagles did the best, my dad worked on an Excel spreadsheet during every game. Like, it was an actual thing. The Eagles would start, and he'd say, okay, I'm going to work. Everyone's going to go in the living room and watch TV, so I'll work on my Excel spreadsheet. And so it was just a coincidence, but it happened to be that was their best
year. And
that
was when they – was that the year they went to the Super Bowl?
I think so.
Oh, my gosh. Go back to that Excel spreadsheet now.
And then every time they would lose, he would be watching, so we would start to
– So it's all his fault.
It's all
of the Eagles' failures is all his fault for not working on Excel.
Exactly. So thank you for that superstition, Mom.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So you know what, though? Speaking of the Eagles and football, this is a perfect transition to our next topic. We wanted to talk about an annoying little – thing that happened with a former Eagles player.
Ah, yes. So this
Can't seem to stay out of the news.
This was fairly close to our deadline for recording this podcast.
It was. It happened like right beforehand, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, first off, there was the announcement that the Detroit Lions has re-signed Matt Stafford for a big contract. That's their quarterback. Right. The quarterback, Matt Stafford, he's kind of changed things around in Detroit.
He's made them a respectable franchise.
Yeah, they're no longer...
Which you couldn't say.
Yeah. Yeah, they're no longer the 0-16 bumbling idiots, you know?
That's right. Now they're a feared contender, a legitimate feared contender.
Yeah. And for that, they've rewarded quarterback Matt Stafford with a 5-year, $76.5 million contract,
wow,
including $41.5 million in guaranteed money. Wow.
That's a nice contract.
Drinks on him.
Yeah, right? Everybody in Detroit is getting a little gift.
Yep. Now, it is not the most expensive quarterback contract in the NFL.
No.
But it is a top 5 contract.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine. So he's now in the top 5 most paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's with the big boys now.
Yep. And unfortunately, some people don't like that. And one of them is our former quarterback of the Eagles, Donovan McNabb, who has gone on to be a NFL Total Access commentator. And he feels Stafford is not worth this large contract.
Oh.
He said, quote, "When you look at just the numbers overall, you have to think about the 12,000 yards that he's thrown and him being the youngest quarterback to reach this feat, and also the things he's been able to accomplish in Detroit. But you also begin to question, is he worth top 5 money? I would have to say no. And I say that because it's about wins and losses. What has he really done for the Detroit Lions? I say nothing." That's very scathing for...
That's nasty. I mean, usually other players are supportive of... You know, their peers when they get a big contract.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not.
And we don't really have a rivalry with the Lions. We don't have any sort of beef with the Lions.
Everybody knows I'm a McNabb supporter when he played for the Eagles. But I got to say, this just sounds like pure bitterness.
Yeah. I think Donovan McNabb's a little.
Especially the comment about not accomplishing anything. Because that was the major knock against McNabb. So now he's going to try and drag that up with every other big name quarterback that hasn't won anything.
Yeah.
And that's a shame because I really liked McNabb when he played with the Eagles. He was the best quarterback we ever had. I just don't see how he has a place to talk about that, given his background.
Yeah. And apparently his criticism has come under the eye of USA Today, who has issued a response letter for McNabb, which I think is kind of weird that...
That's kind of fun, though.
Yeah, it's kind of fun that you know somebody is fact-checking all these quotes that... expert commentators say.
Yeah. And what exactly makes Donovan McNabb an expert commentator?
Just he was a quarterback. He threw up in the Super Bowl.
So Doug Flutie could then be an expert commentator.
Maybe.
Jamarcus Russell could be an expert commentator.
Oh no. Well,
he was a quarterback.
He's trying to come back. We'll see if Jamar That's funny that you said that because one of the things that USA Today says in defense of Matt Stafford is that he's a number one overall draft pick and he's not Jamarcus Russell.
That is a major accomplishment.
Yes.
What are the other facts that they give?
Okay, I'll go over just a couple here. Matt Stafford is the fourth quarterback in NFL history to throw more than 5,000 yards in a single season. In his career, he has thrown 80 touchdowns compared to 54 interceptions. He has recorded the highest single-season passer rating of any quarterback in Lions history, which is a 97.4.
Wow. And the Lions have a pretty long history.
Yeah. Excluding Drew Brees and Tom Brady, Stafford has thrown for more yards than any quarterback in the NFL over the last two seasons. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
And he has won the NFL Comeback Player of the Year Award and ended a 12-year Lions playoff drought. And not to mention that when, the season... Before he got to the Lions organization, the Lions went 0-16, which I loved.
Yeah.
I took glee in that season.
When you take a team from 0-16 and you turn
them
around...
And then in three seasons?
Bring them to a playoff game?
That's pretty impressive.
Everybody said McNabb was awesome for doing that for the Eagles, so why can't Matt Stafford be awesome doing that for the Detroit Lions?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you... All right, so obviously, I think we're both on agreement. Donovan McNabb is just being a sore loser on this.
Sore loser, out of line.
But do you think Matt Stafford is worth top 5 quarterback money?
Is he worth top five money? I'd say yeah. I think he's proven himself in Detroit.
Yeah, I think top so. Five.
Well, I mean,
here's the thing: you've got to worry about the other. I mean, you know, it's not that other quarterbacks sit down and compare each other's right. salaries. But I mean, just to put it on a scale, that means we're talking about Brady money. We're talking
about Peyton Manning
money.
I'm not saying he's a top five quarterback. I'm just saying he deserves the money. Does that make sense?
As of right now, because his contract needed to be renegotiated,
right.
You think that...
I'm saying other quarterbacks could leapfrog him. I'm just saying he's not a top five quarterback, but he deserves the money that he's gotten because he's completely turned around this Detroit Lions team. He's made them an offensive powerhouse, and he's brought them to the playoffs. And it's remarkable what he's done in terms of statistics and giving hope to that franchise and being a leader and turning it around. So I think he does deserve the money. Sure, okay. Why not? Other quarterbacks get the money.
Okay.
Look at rookie quarterbacks that get just almost as much money.
I don't understand.
Look at Tony Romo signed a deal like this 2 years ago, didn't he?
I don't understand why rookie quarterbacks would get, you know, this kind of money, even if they're top number one pick. At least Matt Stafford has proven himself.
Exactly. So what's your stance on it?
I would say he should be in the ballpark.
In the ballpark?
I'm not sure if he... deserves top five money specifically.
Yeah, that's top five because he had to be renegotiated.
Yeah, but
so,
I mean...
that could be a little skewed, right?
I suppose so, but at the same time, I don't think he should be in a same league as Brady, as Aaron Rodgers, as Drew Brees.
Well, look, here's the thing.
As Peyton Manning.
They're paying him according to what the team views as his worth to the team. So this isn't how... You know, we're not... The Lions aren't saying we should pay him as compared to Tom Brady. We should pay him how much we view his worth to our organization.
But here's a thing that you've got to keep in mind is that the NFL has a strict salary cap.
Right.
If you're devoting this much money to your quarterback, if I was a Detroit Lions fan, I better be seeing some results out of him.
Well, the stats say.
I mean, so far the stats do say it, and I think he's on his way to a really great career. I think he's definitely in the top 10 quarterbacks.
Oh, easily.
Easily. I think he's a good face for Detroit. I think that they're doing the right things. But I think maybe a little smidge more than he got paid. I think he got paid a little bit more than he should have.
So maybe closer to $60 million instead of $70 million.
I think if the Lions had to, they should have knocked it down a little bit. But you know, this is the face of the franchise right now for the Detroit Lions. So
exactly,
you know,
think about it. The Eagles. I think the Eagles had committed that much money to McNabb at one point. McNabb hadn't won them anything.
Yeah.
So
and is that why McNabb's bitter?
I think that is why he's bitter.
Because it took him later in his career to earn this kind of money, and Matt Stafford is just doing this in his first
three
seasons.
I remember a couple years back, they talked about Tony Romo signing a big deal, and Tony Romo hasn't done anything.
Well, he's Tony Romo.
He hasn't even won a playoff game. Or maybe
he won one against the Eagles.
Oh, quick, $100 million contract.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
that was the worst game ever. Technically, it's true. All right, Dallas Cowboys won a playoff game. But it was against an Eagles team that year that was beat up, that was injured. We had a great first half that year, and then all of our players got hurt.
Yeah.
And then we limped into the playoffs, and then we got knocked out in the first round by Dallas.
Yeah.
Who then went on and got, like, creamed by the Packers. It was the year the Packers went to the Super Bowl.
Look, here's my challenge. Win a second one.
Win
a second playoff game. That's all you got to do. No, seriously, I mean...
Or how about we just go back to the playoffs? Hey, the last three seasons they haven't.
Yeah, make it back to the playoffs then.
Yeah. Though I guess we're in the same boat, too.
But anyway, my point is that lots of quarterbacks have been paid astronomical sums. We talked about the rookies, we talked about Tony Romo, we talked about other quarterbacks that haven't lived up to the hype. So maybe it's a little more than he realistically deserved, but then again, they are valuing his worth to their franchise. They're not comparing him to other quarterbacks.
Yeah. I would just be careful because in the NFL, you're on a strict salary cap,
right.
And you might not want to tie in all your resources, a lot of your resources, this early.
Right. So. That is a concern. Well, we don't know how the rest
of
the
team is
structured.
It's not like baseball. Baseball, you know, there's no salary cap.
You can spend whatever you want.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
You have
sky's the limit.
You have like multiple players with $100 million contracts. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But football, they're on a strict salary cap. You go over the salary cap, you get that cap penalty.
And also,
it's tough to rebound from that.
Also, John Bruno isn't here with us right now, but he earlier said that Matt Stafford has a history of injury. So the question becomes, will he be able to play consistently under this contract? As we know, NFL, people like to joke, stands for not for long. So he already has a history of injury, so maybe that is an aspect that the Lions have to be worried about as well.
Well, we'll see how that plays in as Stafford begins his next phase with the Lions on the first season of his new mega contract.
That's true. Officially, in terms of salary, one of the elite quarterbacks.
Yep.
Now.
All right. So, what's our next topic, Mike?
Well, we're going to shift gears from football. We're going to talk about baseball now. See, we're covering all our bases. We got hockey.
Literally, it's baseball.
Hockey and literally, we got hockey and football and baseball. We don't have very cheery news for baseball. Actually, something pretty serious. It turns out that Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig will be suspending A-Rod and up to 20 other players due to performance-enhancing drugs being traced back to the Miami-based research company Biogenesis. That's pretty big news.
Yeah, especially for Alex Rodriguez, who is right now kind of...
I should have used his full name. Alex Rodriguez. I said A-Rod.
You know, then he's popular. It's New York Yankees, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Chances are you can name one or two players from the Yankees.
Right.
But this is just really, it's more bad news, especially for Alex Rodriguez, who's heading to the end of his career right now.
Looking good.
I believe he's 37, if I remember my stats correctly. So he's coming towards the end of his career. And there were some rumors going around that, first off, Alex Rodriguez got hurt earlier this season. He hasn't played season.
I don't think he's played at all.
Yeah.
This article says he underwent arthroscopic hip surgery in January.
Yeah.
And has not played for the Yankees yet this year.
Yeah.
So
he's been out this whole first half of this season. And now on top of that, they're going to levy this suspension against him. Is this whole season just a wash for him? I mean, does he even bother coming back, especially next year when he'll be 38? I mean, you're reaching. I know for some people they're probably like 38. That's, you know, I wish I was 38. But you know, in terms of athleticism and professional sports, after 35, you gotta start considering retirement as an option.
After 30, in some cases.
Yeah, for some positions.
Depending on the sport.
Yeah.
You start to feel the wear and tear. So now he's going to be suspended for the rest of the year. Going into next year, he'll, like you said, he'll be 38 or 39. I don't know when his birthday is. So could this possibly be the last moment of his career? Is
possibly.
This suspension?
For
such a storied player in New York, that's kind of sad. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it if you're taking performance-enhancing drugs. Right?
Yeah, he definitely should be punished for it. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know. It's just it's a very sad way to end his career if this is how it ends.
It is.
You know, I forget where I read this quote, but I read a quote that was something like, you're remembered not only by your first impression, but you're also remembered by your last impression.
Right, how you go out.
Exactly. And if Alex Rodriguez goes out on this note, I think it might hurt him in terms of Hall of Fame voting and
look at where
he stands as a career player.
Look at some other major players, you know, that were part of that 90s performance-enhancing drug era. You know, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds. I mean, think about what they're remembered for now.
Yeah. Just
could he be the next one on that list?
Maybe. Yeah, those guys haven't been voted into the Hall of Fame.
They're eligible. And they probably won't, though. I mean, I don't think... If you were voting for that, would you? If you knew that most of their career was tainted with performance-enhancing drugs.
Well, I believe one or two things will happen. Either none of these steroid players are going to get in the Hall of Fame ever.
Or dreaded asterisk.
They're gonna do something where they'll market the steroid era or something. I believe one of those two scenarios will happen.
I think that would be worse than not making it.
Really?
Yeah, because if you don't make it, people will say, oh, you know, he was a good player in his day. But if you make it, there's that asterisk next to your name, that's done. You're like in the record books as like you were in that era. You're like officially tainted for the rest of recorded history. But if you don't make it, then perhaps people's opinions will change. But as long as you're branded with that asterisk and says performance enhancing drugs.
It's like the scarlet letter.
It is. It is.
Your brand, the scarlet asterisk.
The scarlet. No, that would be baseball's version of that. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
In a way?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Would you want to be forgotten or would you want to be branded for all time?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like we're getting philosophical here.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when it gets late.
I don't know. Maybe I would like to be remembered hatefully.
Remembered hatefully?
Yeah. At least people remember you.
What do they call it in wrestling? You're the heel?
Yeah. There you go. If it's wrestling, I'm down with that. I'll be a heel. I'll be your classic heel.
Pal, I'm going to take your girlfriend home and make her say Mickey Mouse. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah. I'll be the next Ric Flair. Woo!
You're going to make her say Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
Put me in a cage with that S-O-B. Please put me in a cage. A cage. A cage.
Woo.
I'll be the next heel. It'll be great.
But it is a tough subject, and I'm sure a sore subject for a lot of players from that era to have their whole career thrown into doubt, essentially.
And you know who I feel really sorry for are the players that didn't do steroids.
Well, I was going to say the fans, but yes.
You know, that who may have been popular, you know, around this time during the Mark McGuire's, the Sammy Sosa's.
Right. Imagine if you didn't do it. And
they
now,
didn't do steroids.
But that's always going to be hanging over your
head. And it's kind of always in the clouds that, you know, you were playing during the steroids era.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite ball players is Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
And he got famous, you know, right around the same, a little bit earlier than Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa, but he has never been linked to steroids.
Yeah, never.
There's never been any links to him and using these performance enhancing drugs. And he's kind of had to take the second spotlight because Mark McGuire came out and boomed more home runs than him, and Sammy Sosa boomed more home runs than him. Now, does that mean that are they better players? Because in the stat book, they are, but they took performance-enhancing drugs, whereas Ken Griffey Jr. has never been linked to steroids, put up amazing numbers.
Now, you see the
will he be remembered the same way?
Exactly what, going along with what you're saying, the cynic in people will say, well, he's never been linked. It doesn't mean he didn't do them.
And
that's a damn shame, if you ask me.
Especially for a player like Ken Griffey Jr. He was the face of the Seattle Mariners and then the face for the Cincinnati Reds during the second half of his career. And yeah, he was a great player. And as far as I'm concerned, he shouldn't be lumped in to this whole steroid era.
Sometimes you don't get a choice, though.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't.
That's the sad part about it. Is like you said, for those types of players, they're going to be under that banner for the rest of history.
All because of the time that they broke through.
So, do you think A-Rod could be the last of that era? Like maybe now.
I hope so. I don't want to see any more, you know, players linked to steroids.
Is it ending, or do you think things are staying?
I think
the same?
So because now
they're cracking down a little bit.
Yeah, baseball is actively testing, and the penalties are much stricter. I believe the first time you're found with performance enhancing drugs is 50 game suspension right off the bat.
Was one of our own Phillies?
He was in trouble.
Was that performance enhancing or was that something?
No, the story behind that was, I believe it was Carlos Ruiz.
Right.
He was coming back from an injury and he used a treatment on his body that he wasn't supposed to use as guidelined by the Major League Baseball drug list.
So it wasn't actually performance enhancing. It was,
yeah.
Okay.
And he came out and he said, I'm an idiot. I didn't know that this was on the list of prohibited things. And he appealed for it. MLB threw it back in his face and said,
It just goes to show how strict they are now.
Because
what did he get? A 50
game? 50 game suspension.
50 game suspension?
Yeah. He got disciplined for that one.
Okay. Can you discipline him? Oh, kinky.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Bud Selig said.
Yeah. He would, that sick commissioner.
Can you discipline him? Oh, kinky.
But that's a third of the baseball season, just about.
Yeah.
50 games.
50 games, yeah.
So even though he came out, he admitted it, he apologized, he said it wasn't exactly performance-enhancing drugs, they still
said, you know, you weren't supposed to, you should have known.
So hopefully that era is ending, and I think this next wave of players, we don't know the full list, but it definitely includes Alex Rodriguez, from what I understand, and about 20 other players.
Yeah.
Oh. Can you discipline him? Oh, kinky!
All right, do we have another subject?
Actually, no, I think that about
yeah,
wraps
I just
it
realized
up.
For... I lost my outline.
You lost your outline?
When I dropped the papers. I don't know. Oh, there it is. I found it.
You found it? So you've been flying blind.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Like we've never done that before.
Yeah. All right, and that'll conclude the sports sampler. And we're coming up to another fun part of the show. It's when you want to know your favorite parts, right?
It is. It's always random and exciting.
Yep, because you don't know. It's time for our side dish. Woo!
Coming out of left field.
Yeah, literally. The side dish is just something that either Mike or myself want to bring up. So it doesn't fit into one of the sports, entertainment, or on news. It's just something that we want to bring up.
So what interesting subject do we have for today?
Well, this one is my side dish. And it's just something I found on the internet. I thought it was pretty cool. It's brought to you by BuzzFeed. If you're interested, if you happen to go on that website a lot, you can follow us along on BuzzFeed.com on this list. But BuzzFeed.com has provided us with sounds that are doomed to go extinct.
Can sounds go extinct?
Apparently so. And when you think about it, it can happen.
It's true.
Well, yeah.
There's a whole generation that... they won't hear, you know, dial-up, for instance.
Well, good thing you mentioned that, because that was the first one
on
my list.
That was the first one, all right.
You're jumping ahead of me.
That was a good segue. So let's hear those glorious, glorious dial-up tones.
Sounds like an explosion in the middle, like brrr.
And somebody driving and listening has just veered off the road.
So,
For some of our younger listeners, I don't know if we have any, that's what the internet sounds like.
Yeah, that it's was when true. You had to dial up in the modem, and you had to find a phone number that was close by. Because if you dialed a phone number that was out of state, you got charged double or something.
And wait, you can't talk on the phone and go on the internet at the same time.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
I have an important call coming in, so you can't go on the internet.
That's right. So
interesting story. I was once at a GameStop, and their internet, for whatever reason, was really bad. They had to use dial-up. And there's this
Wow,
I know that things are getting really rough when you have to go back that far. But there was this little kid in line in front of me, and the cashier was going online, and he heard that noise. And the kid, his eyes grow to the size of dinner plates. He goes, "What the hell is that?"
He didn't know what it was.
Didn't know what it was. In fact, the ATM at the CVS down the street still makes those dial-up noises.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an old ATM.
So there
but
you go.
There's a whole generation that will never know.
Yeah, exactly. Our kids will not know what a dial-up sound is. All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah, I like these.
The next one is a rotary dial telephone.
Ah.
Yeah, you won't hear that.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't even around for that.
It's actually a transistor just going around so that it would know, you know, whatever that length of time with the that's a 3. That's a 2. That's a 1. 0 is the worst. That's all the way at the bottom. That would be the longest one. You'd be
Which you think it would be the other way around, but it's not.
But yeah, that and you'd like complain if somebody had too many zeros in their number, like, "Oh my god, take it forever here."
Did you ever have to use a rotary phone?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
I never got the chance.
Yeah, it was crazy. No, it wasn't like that. It was like I was doing not la close, but no cigar. Close, but nah, not quite.
But that's right. The next generation will never know about that.
That's right.
I'm sure there are other telephone noises on the list too. Like I know one personally that we are witnessing dying out right now is the dial tone. Because cell phones, which most people use nowadays, don't have
That's
a good point.
You ready for the next one?
Sure.
All right. This one is when you would use that dial tone and use that dial-up internet, and you had America Online in the 90s.
Oh.
And using a crazy thing called email.
Back when the internet came on CDs.
Yeah, exactly.
In the mail.
This was the American Online sound cue that you have new messages in your email box.
You've got mail.
Yeah, see?
Oh my God, that was loud.
But yeah, you got mail.
Yeah. Oh, I have mail?
Yeah.
Oh.
You needed a computer to tell you you got mail with your AOL account.
I love how the internet used to come on CDs.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
You know what I used to do?
What?
With any of the American Online CDs I wasn't using, I would use it as target practice with my BB gun.
Nice.
Just hang it from a tree and just... Good target practice for those at home and if you happen to have a lot of old CDs lying around.
I'm trying to remember. How did I get on the internet back then?
Yeah.
What browser did we use?
Just whatever America Online was.
I guess so.
All right. Here's another one. You didn't think of this. You ready for this?
Okay.
The sound of TV static.
Oh.
Yeah.
That brings
because
fond memories.
Because TVs nowadays, whenever there's no signal detected by the TV, it just puts up a black screen. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't do that.
Oh, some of these you don't think about.
Yeah. See, you didn't think about that one.
See, I thought You Got Mail was just like pop culture thing now, and then TV static. I never realized that there's a generation that's never heard that.
Yeah. Let me go to the next one here. This is a printer, but a specific type of printer.
Oh, I know where you're going.
A computer paper size dot matrix printer.
Those pain in the ass things.
Yeah.
Sounds like teletype.
And they printed so slow. You have no idea.
Yeah.
And then you get the paper out and you got to tear off those freaking edges. It was just the worst.
Yeah. But do you remember how long the paper was? Wasn't it obnoxiously long?
Yeah. Didn't it come in like rolls or something?
Yeah. It came in. How the heck did you roll?
Did you tear it off?
You teared it off.
Yeah. And then you got to tear off the edges and oh my gosh. Look at how far actually printers really, they still suck today.
Somewhat. Yeah.
Just earlier today I had problems with the printer.
But it's better than a dot matrix printer. Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Hey, that'll print out your dad's Excel spreadsheets reports.
Yeah, there you go.
Get him on
one long continuous thing.
Yeah, get him on that while the Eagles are playing and we'll go to the Super Bowl, all right? All right, next clip, winding the film in a throwaway camera.
Oh, yeah.
So you would wind it, take a picture, wind it again.
Wind it, yeah.
You know, you had to do that over for each picture.
Well, what about the little ones that went click, click, zzz, zzz?
Yeah, you also had to do that. Yeah, yeah, there was also those available. So, yeah, after every shot, you had to...
Turn the thing.
So.
I think they still have disposable cameras, though.
Really? Even though everyone's got a camera on their phone nowadays?
I think they're technically digital now, but so I guess you wouldn't have the spinny thing. But, yeah, I think I saw them at CVS.
Oh.
Well, I see a lot of things at CVS.
Well, there you go.
But, yeah, disposable cameras. You know what's another interesting one? I don't know if it's on the list. A camera shutter.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't hear a natural camera shutter.
Right. But I read a story once where some tech blogger was saying that their kid asked why the iPhone makes that funny noise when it takes a picture. And the funny noise it makes is a camera shutter.
Oh, because he didn't know what it was.
And kids don't know what it is.
Interesting.
So the next generation, like 4 or 5 year olds, they'll be like,
What is this sound?
Yeah, they'll say that's the iPhone camera noise. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Another one is the sound of an actual analog alarm clock. So there you go.
Yeah.
Just the actual ticking mechanism and then the...
Not even I've heard that.
Really?
Not an actual one.
Oh.
I mean, I know what it sounds like, but I've never, you know, had like an actual physical analog alarm clock.
Oh, okay.
Have you?
No, I never had one, no. I had the first wave of alarm clock tuners.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it would wake you up with the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And it came in blue. Ooh, it's the future. It's blue.
Yes, the future is blue.
Yeah. You know, ooh, it's high tech. It's in blue.
I'm blue.
This is a catchy song.
Yeah. If it's, yeah, see, that's what we thought the future was in the 90s. If it's blue, it must be the future. It must be techno. It must be all that computer stuff.
And if you're green, you would die. That's what they're saying, right? If I were green, I would...
No.
Yes, it is.
It sounds like it, but it's not the actual lyrics.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the actual lyrics is them just saying da-ba-dee.
Are you... Wait, what's the song?
The song is Blue Da-ba-dee. I'm not making it... What, you don't believe me?
No, I don't believe you. I gotta look it up. Hold on. I like this song.
All right, well, while Mike looks that up...
Even though he doesn't believe me, even though I have the song properly labeled.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah, it's called Blue Da-ba-dee.
I think that, you know, that's probably like one of those, like, what do you call those things? Never mind. That was horrible.
Yeah,
that was
Mike.
That fucking sucked. That did suck.
Yeah, what the hell was up with that one?
That's like one of those, what I was trying to say is that's like one of those classic rumors, like tall tale type things. Because I thought I'd read that somewhere. They're saying if I were green, I would die or something.
No, they're just saying da-ba-dee.
Da-ba-dee.
Da-ba-dee. Because it's Europe.
Because it's Europe?
Yep.
It's European. Get used to it. All right, let's get to the next.
Anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on. The next sound. So anyway, here's something that my mom harkens back to the old days on. The okay. sound of a coffee percolator.
Ah. It sounds really cavernous.
Sounds almost evil.
Yeah, doesn't it? Is it just me, or does that sound like really echoey and cavernous?
Yeah.
Freddy's the devil. Freddy's the devil.
So yeah, it's just something because everyone's got coffee makers, or they've got the single serve now.
Starbucks.
Starbucks too. Yeah, you don't even need to make your own.
No, really,
coffee.
Most people go to Wawa, Dunkin' Donuts, 7-Eleven, or Starbucks.
Yeah, you don't even need to brew your own coffee anymore.
Yeah, the big four.
All right, another thing that I've got on the list. Is intermission reels at a drive-in movie.
Oh, see, I don't even know these.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you with us this evening and want you to enjoy every minute of your stay here. And while you relax and stretch, visit our concession where you'll find something to please you. There are ice-cold drinks, delicious sandwiches, ice cream, coffee and snacks, and many other pleasing treats. Our foods are fresh and tasty. Our drinks, satisfying and refreshing. They're so good.
Boy, he's so excited. They're so good.
They do have those corny little like shows in the beginning, like before the credits. You know how they like talk to actors and they have trivia and they talk about their concessions and gift cards? You
yeah.
know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So all they did was move the intermission reel to the front of the movie and make it like a pre-movie show.
All right, and I got one more for you. You ready for the last sound?
All right, let's hear it.
Speaking of movies, the sound of an old film projector, because everything's going digital.
That's right.
But yeah, that...
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't hear that anymore.
So all these sounds are going extinct.
They won't be around soon.
They're endangered sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we have a conservation effort for them?
Yeah, where is...
Hipsters and the retro movement.
Oh, that's what it is. Hipsters will be out for them. There you go.
They're the conservation movement.
They'll save us.
You know, it's interesting, though, that you bring up movie reels and movie sounds, because our next segment, of course, is the entertainment entree.
My juice box. I need my juice box. I said, give me it now.
That's Mike's attempt at singing a childhood death metal song.
I think I did a damn fine job.
Yes, that is awesome.
Give me my juice box. I need my juice box. I said, give me it now.
You kind of sound like Elvis at the end. Give me it now. Oh, baby, I need my juice box. Woo!
Toddler death metal Elvis.
Yes, toddler death metal Elvis.
From 2013.
Yes.
Give me my juice box. I need my juice box. I said, give me it now.
I could never replicate that in a million years.
No, thank God we got that recorded.
Wow. The things I say.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
There you go.
Curse you, technology!
There you go. To go back to the sound effects.
That's right.
Endangered sound effects. Curse you, technology.
That's right. Technology is destroying our sound effects.
Yep.
We have plenty of sound effects, though.
Yeah, don't worry. I've kept the sound effects. I will preserve the sound effects. Don't worry.
Give me my juice box. I need my juice box. I said, give me it now.
All right. So what do we got in the entertainment entree for today?
Well, you had brought up that you had recently watched or you had recently read something about the movie Tootsie.
Tootsie is this gender-bending comedy with Dustin Hoffman playing a struggling actor who decides to go drag and see if he can make it in the acting world as a actress. And he ends up making it big on a soap opera, I believe it was, if I remember correctly. And that's the whole premise of the movie. And Dustin Hoffman made a very interesting comment about some of the about the preparations he had becoming a woman in Tootsie.
Right.
And just something he said in it has been really powerful and is making the rounds on the internet. So I figured we would play the clip and just see what he has to say about it.
If you were born a woman, how would you be different? So that kicked off Tootsie. But I did go to Columbia and I asked them if they would spend the money to do makeup tests so that I could look like a woman. And if I couldn't look like a woman, they would agree not to make the movie. And they said, what do you mean? And I just somehow intuitively felt that unless I could walk down the streets of New York and not have dressed as a woman and not have people turn and say, who's that guy in drag, or turn for any reason, unless I could do that, I didn't want to make the film. I didn't want the audience to suspend their believability. When we got to that point and looked at it on screen, I was shocked that I wasn't more attractive. And I said, now you have me looking like a woman, now make me a beautiful woman. Because I thought I should be beautiful. If I was going to be a woman, I would want to be as beautiful as possible. And they said to me, that's as good as it gets, as beautiful as we can get you. And it was at that moment that I had an epiphany, and I went home and started crying, talking to my wife. And I said, I have to make this picture. And she said, why? And I said, because I think I'm an interesting woman when I look at myself on screen. And I know that if I met myself at a party, I would never talk to that character because she doesn't fulfill physically the demands that we're brought up to think women have to have in order for us to ask them out. She says, what are you saying? And I said, there's too many interesting women I have not had the experience to know in this life because I have been brainwashed. And that was never a comedy for me.
All right, so there you go. A moving thought there by
Dustin
Hoffman.
Wow. That was pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. That he kind of had an epiphany there, you know, that
if
it was a real woman, he would have never introduced himself to the female version of him. The name of the character in drag is Dorothy Michaels. So I guess Dustin Hoffman would have never flirted with his own Dorothy Michaels, I guess, by that logic then, right?
I guess not.
And I guess that kind of hit home for him.
Yeah, that must be a very humbling experience, I guess.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we wouldn't make attractive women either.
No, not at all.
Anyway, I think it's a good message that he's sending out, and I'm glad this
is
getting
good
popular.
Message. And it speaks to a wider societal issue about the importance we place on outward appearances and that type of stuff. And, you know, like he said, brainwashed. I don't know about if it's brainwashing, but you're programmed to think a certain way. And it's sad that women always have to strive to attain a look that they find desirable. They always have to feel like they're not good enough unless they attain that.
Yeah.
So that was a very powerful, moving statement by Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. And it's making the rounds right now on the internet. And it's bringing a renewed interest into the movie Tootsie.
Right.
Which is what he said that about.
Tootsie's always been pretty popular, though.
It has been. But something that I've always wondered, I think it's a good movie, but I don't think it should be in the top films of all time.
Okay.
And just doing a couple of Google searches on Tootsie, AFI, the American Film Institute, gave Tootsie the honor of being the second most funniest comedy ever made in movie history. I think that's a little too high. And it kind of got the gears rolling in my head. And I figured something interesting would be, what do you think are movies that are, quote, critically acclaimed that you don't like or that you secretly think are overrated or something like that?
Right.
So I just wanted to throw that out there. Do you have any that comes to mind off the top of your head?
Yeah, a few. One of the ones that I've always had a problem with is Titanic. Personally, Titanic just never really did it for me. I don't know why. I just always thought it was...
You don't know why?
Yeah, I just thought it was a very basic love story. It was just kind of... And not only that, but the woman at the end annoys...
The old woman?
The old woman. She annoys me so much.
She throws away the
diamond thing.
$1 million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, I'll never let you go, but goodbye. And she just...
let's go. Goodbye.
We can't take turns on the door. No, that's not how romance works, I guess. But no,
Mike, it's chivalry.
It's chivalry. Okay, okay. I guess.
And also, one dead body.
She could have she could have froze her ass off for 15 minutes to let Leonardo DiCaprio sit on that door for a little bit. Is all I'm saying. No, but other than that, I just think it's an incredibly long, boring, very cut and dry, basic romance movie about the Titanic. You already know what's going to happen.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! I don't know. I know you don't exactly have the same views on that, but
no, I like Titanic.
You like Titanic?
I think it's. Yeah, I like the story in it.
But does it deserve to be one of the highest grossing films of all time and revered as one of the best and all these awards and all these accolades?
I think so.
Really?
I don't. Yeah, I like the. I think the romance novel is a classic. You know, two lovers that aren't supposed to be together.
Right.
Try to end up being together, and one of them's not going to make. Yeah, that's a classic motif that you're not going to. You know, so you're not going to end up with the person that you want to be with. And also, you know, the story of the Titanic is so interesting,
right?
That, you know, that everyone thought this ship can't sink and then it does.
Right.
You know, I believe there was actually a 5-second parody like Titanic in 5 seconds. And they just took the guy's line. This ship can't sink. And But that was the actual feeling. It was like, oh, we've made it.
They were invincible. They were the Titanic. They were a Titan.
This is the unsinkable ship.
They were Titanic.
I think that also makes it cooler, is that this was a true story, you know?
But there's lots of stories.
The Titanic is a true story, not the
Jack
love
and
story.
Rose.
Yeah.
Is it Jack and Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a true story.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I felt like it was very basic, very sort of melodramatic, and just, I never really clicked for me. So, here's the thing. You brought up a point that I just had a thought about. So, you're saying that Titanic is a true story, so it's already happened. You're saying that the Jack and Rose love story about love that you can't possibly ever be with is a tried and true story that's been told over and over again. And yet one of the biggest knocks against James Cameron's more recent movie, Avatar, is that it's already been told. Why for Titanic does that not hold true, but Avatar does? So Avatar is overhyped for retelling Pocahontas. But Titanic is not for telling a romance story for 4 hours.
Avatar...
Legitimately answer the question.
I would say Avatar...
There are other problems with Avatar.
Yeah, there's other problems with Avatar and the whole...
I'm not saying it's the best movie of all time.
Unobtainium and all that stuff.
Oh, man, that pisses me off.
Yeah, that's the worst name ever.
Anyway, is there sort of a double standard here? Because it's a romance,
perhaps,
therefore it's better?
Perhaps.
It's Oscar bait.
What, Titanic?
Yeah, it's a romance story. It's
well,
Oscar-based.
Avatar
not
was
so much
almost
though.
If it had come out in a weaker year, it might have cleaned up at the Oscars.
Yeah. But Avatar is another one that is greatly overrated. Well, it was overhyped. I don't know about overrated now.
I think it's a little overrated. You
think it's overrated?
Yeah. I didn't really buy the whole
unobtainium.
First of all, the unobtainium thing, that's weird.
Well, Rose was unobtainable. That's what I mean. There's a double standard here.
And also, I didn't like the whole he was inside another dead body alien,
what?
Right? Like,
it wasn't dead body.
Well,
it was an avatar.
It was like a fake version
of one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't know. I didn't like that. That kind of like
it's called science fiction.
Yeah, but wouldn't the other people realize that, like, who's this, like...
Okay, so another great movie that I read in overrated movies list is Blade Runner. They have cyborgs that are human-like that can't be recognized. That's what I don't understand. Like, I'm not saying Avatar's the greatest movie of all time, but I thoroughly enjoyed it for what it was. And I thought it was a very good movie, not the best. It was a very good, enjoyable movie. I see a lot of double standards with Titanic, with... You know, just because you said the thing about the unbelievability of the avatars, they're just, you know, the Blade Runner thing.
It's not that it's unbelievable, because it is science fiction.
It just bugged you?
Yeah, it just bugged me.
You thought for an advanced alien race, maybe they should be able to see.
Exactly.
They're so in tune with nature, so why can't they
tell
it's not
right.
nature?
Nature is their, like, God, right?
Well, also, you can't underestimate the power of futuristic science. Maybe the humans found a way around that. I don't know.
To be better than nature?
To be better than... Well, wasn't that part of the theme?
I guess
there's a double standard here. I'm saying there's a double standard. People just need to realize it. Titanic and Avatar, I think, should have switched places a little bit. In my opinion.
In your ranking?
In my ranking, yeah.
Well,
I
would leave them be. But,
It was definitely overrated. It wasn't the best movie of all time.
What?
Avatar.
Avatar, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. When people say it was the greatest movie they've ever seen, I'm like, well, okay.
And also,
you've never seen The Godfather.
Didn't they already greenlight Avatar 2 and 3?
I think those just recently got greenlit. I don't know if they did it
I thought it was right after the success of Avatar.
If you pull in $1 billion, of course they're going to say, quick, make another one. we don't care if it's just stick figures. We just need,
we just need something to slap Avatar on.
You know people would pay for that.
Avatar 2, the stick figures.
The stick figures. another one that I have a big issue with. I have a couple that I have big issues with, but another one that is just, critics go crazy over it, and I just don't understand why, is No Country for Old Men. I get what the movie is about. The themes include the bad guys sometimes win. Sometimes, no matter what you do, you know, your fate is unavoidable. Sometimes, you know, the old ways were better. You got to go back to the old ways. I get that the lack of sound made it suspenseful, and it was brooding, and it was slow, and it was dark and mysterious. I get all that. I really do. I understand it. But when I was watching that movie, I said, please, for the love of God, somebody kill me. I can't stand this movie. I couldn't stand it. I didn't care for the characters.
Is it too slow?
Here's the thing, though. It can't be the fact that it's too slow, because movies like The Godfather and Godfather Part 2, Godfather Part 2 is the slowest movie you will ever watch. It just drags on forever and ever, and nothing happens for the longest time. And it's one of my favorite movies. So the slow thing, I don't know what it is about the difference between The Godfather Part 2 being slow and No Country for Old Men being slow. I think that No Country for Old Men had lackluster writing. It had unlikable characters, several leaps in logic. I didn't understand what was happening at some points where they introduce secondary characters without any sort of, like, this person does this. It's just, here's a guy. Oh, now he's gone. It just disappears. They kill the main character off screen. I get that. The main character wasn't supposed to be the focus. The main character was really the antagonist, Anton Chigurh. It didn't work as a movie. I feel like as a thought experiment, as a thematic and artistic expression, as a book, would have been phenomenal. But as an actual movie, like to sit down and watch, just I felt like it didn't really succeed. I feel like people cared. The critics said it was amazing strictly because of its themes and far out artistic attributes like 2001 Space Odyssey rather than actually being a good movie.
That was the Coen brothers, right?
Yeah.
There's another movie they did called Blood Simple.
Never heard of it.
I had to watch it in a film class, and it gets rave reviews for
I feel like the Coen brothers are guilty of a lot of this.
Yeah, there's some movies that I feel like that they are guilty of. There's a movie called Blood Simple.
Okay.
Where it's essentially just your basic love triangle just out in like the most rural area of the United States with the added spark that there's a hitman that's going to strike when you don't know it in the movie.
Okay.
And it gets all this praise as being revolutionary and marking a spot in neo-noir movies. I didn't really find it to be all that. I found it's a good movie, but and it's their first movie, so I would say it's an okay movie. I would watch it again, but at the same time, it gets like all this praise as being revolutionary, and,
right?
And
well,
being
the same thing for No Country for Old Men
in neo noir. I wouldn't agree with that.
And I feel the same way about No Country for Old Men. Everybody says it's revolutionary and really great and artistic. I didn't see it. I feel like you could have had those messages in a much tighter, more effective package, in my opinion.
Okay.
I know everybody disagrees with me, but
I can see where you're coming from, though.
Yeah, but you personally liked it.
I liked it. Yeah, I like No Country for Old Men. I thought it was pretty good.
You think it's one of the greatest of all time?
I think it's worthy of the best picture that it won.
See,
I think you would disagree with me on that.
See, it depends on what you're judging it for. Are you judging it for? I still stand by. I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's a great example of thematic expression and artistic qualities, but not as a movie. I think it's like 2001 Space Odyssey stuff. 2001 Space Odyssey, like, you can't beat the trippy themes and art and just the technical mastery of it. But as a movie, do you want to keep watching 2001 Space Odyssey?
Yeah, no, it gets to a point where it gets too depressing.
Well, No Country for Old Men
is the same way. Yeah, it gets depressing.
They made it, again, it's one of those movies that's Oscar bait. It's so weird and out there that people just assume it's good. Weird and out there doesn't necessarily mean good. It just means weird and out there. No, I mean, really, right? Clockwork Orange is another one.
The other films that were nominated that year was Atonement, Juno, Michael Clayton, and There Will Be Blood.
I think out of that group. Now, I actually really like Juno.
Juno is a good movie, but I don't think it's better than No Country for Old Men.
See, I like the quirky nature and the down-to-earth, you know, take on that subject with Juno better than No Country for Old Men. I think Juno did a much better job of showing, getting across its themes than No Country for Old Men did.
Okay.
Just that's me personally.
I don't mind No Country for Old Men winning Best Picture for that one.
Okay.
All right. Now, speaking of Best Picture controversies, I know one that is your favorite is the shocking win of Shakespeare in Love in 1998. Over the following movies: Elizabeth, Life is Beautiful, The Thin Red Line, and one of your favorite movies, Saving Private Ryan.
I will openly challenge everyone, go watch Saving Private Ryan and then watch Shakespeare in Love and legitimately make an argument for why Shakespeare in Love is better. I'm going to spoil it for you right now. You won't be able to.
You can't.
If you had seen Saving Private Ryan, there's no way that you would have given that award. And I've seen both movies, so I'm not being like prejudicial here. But Saving Private Ryan is a much better movie.
All right, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into this.
Oh, I hate monkey wrenches.
I noticed
unless it's by the Foo Fighters.
That's a good song.
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed Life is Beautiful is on this list.
Yeah.
Would you consider Life is Beautiful? Because to me, I think the winner of the 1998 Oscars right here should have been either Life is Beautiful or Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, Life is Beautiful is the Italian film.
It is such an emotional movie.
It is. It is.
If you don't...
I've actually seen most of those movies. I saw.
If you don't cry at the end of Life is Beautiful, or at least have an emotional moment, you have no heart in life. After watching Life is Beautiful,
I feel like any one of those movies would have done better than Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah, I would rather have seen Life is Beautiful or Saving Private Ryan win.
If you want to win an Oscar, write a movie about an unobtainable love. Titanic, Shakespeare in Love, really? Right? Am I right? Am I right?
American Beauty. That's another one.
I'm calling out the Oscar people that vote the movies. You guys are really stupid. No, honestly, sometimes it's just like, why? Like, are you watching the same movies?
The English Patient. Yeah, that's a true truth. Especially in the 90s. That's where it seems to be this trend coming in.
There's a romance? Quick, nominated for Best Picture. Get out of here.
Yeah, interesting.
I have no problem with a good romance story, but really? Some of these other movies should have won.
Good observation by Mike. I like
that.
You.
Thank you.
An unobtainable love. That seems to win.
You know why? Because everybody feels like they've been scorned. So everybody naturally attaches to the melodrama, the love triangle, the unobtainable love. Everybody goes all crazy over it. They have their, you know, critics go wild for it, frothing at the mouth. Oh my God. It's the best thing ever. I just disagree with a lot of choices they've made over the years.
That f- sucked. There you go.
If I were allowed to say that on the air, I would. Are there any others? Well, I have two more on this list that we talked about way back, if people remember, our Movie Madness Showdown.
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Forrest Gump and The Shining both made our list way back when.
Our field of 64.
But we both sort of agreed that, well, we both sort of agreed, if I remember, correct me if I'm wrong.
On Forrest Gump.
That Forrest Gump was a little overrated.
Yeah, we both agreed on that.
You take out Jenny and the whole movie ceases to exist.
Yeah.
And The Shining, you had made, brought this to my attention, that it's actually a very bad adaptation of Stephen King's novel. Like a really, really bad one.
Well, apparently. I mean, this is according to a lot of critics that have read the book and
Stephen King himself
and the movie
too.
And Stephen King, who has said on multiple times that he never liked the film adaptation of The Shining and never liked Jack Nicholson.
If the author says
Jack,
if the author says the adaptation isn't good, the adaptation isn't good.
But the movie is still
the
awesome.
Movie is still. Good.
I think it's deserving of being one of the top horror movies.
I really
of all
liked.
Time.
I really liked it.
And I like
Jack Nichol. Probably I say Jack Nicholson's best role. I don't care what anybody else says about.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I would disagree with you.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
You
is
see,
awesome.
Because I've always liked the book better for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I'm the exact opposite.
The opposite on this.
Because the main character isn't Jack Nicholson. It's the Indian. It's the Native American.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting delving into literature now.
Yeah. Oh, yes, books.
Oh, yes, books.
Oh, books and golf. Yes, I'm so fancy today. Rich Liebig here. Rich Liebig. Ooh, a little Rich Liebig now.
I apparently sang my own name as Adam was.
We sing far too much on this show.
Yeah, just a little bit, but
like the last episode, didn't we have like three or four moments? Not three or four, but like a couple of moments.
Yeah, we had a couple.
Broke out into song.
It's fun. It's worth it.
It is. But anyway, so those are a couple of movies that I think are overrated.
Yeah.
Have you had time to digest and think about some in your opinion?
Personally, I've never been a fan of the Lord of the Rings,
right.
So I never understood why it was so popular and how it could have won Best Picture in 2003 compared to Lost in Translation, Master and Commander, Mystic River. Those three, I think, are really great movies.
But
I know. But for me, it's just I never got into it. So, I mean, I understand that. I understand objectively it's a cinematic
masterpiece.
Cinematic, no.
Marvel of modern movie making.
Will you let me finish my sentence? It's a cinematic historical point for sci-fi movies. But personally, I never got in Lord of the Rings. And it never clicked with me. So for me, that's always been kind of a weird question.
That movie in particular or the whole franchise?
I never understood why it was so addicting for fans. I'm sorry. I know. I'm hearing the sighs in the background.
I know. That sigh was audible. Jeez.
Other movies.
You can almost hear the eyes rolling.
another movie I would go with was Million Dollar Baby. I mean, it's a good boxing movie.
Didn't see it. Well, I'm not a fan of sports movies in general. They always have that just a little bit of hokiness to them. Oh, we can overcome anything. Yay, championship.
Yeah.
For the most part. I know what happens in the movie. I've never seen it, but I'm saying in general, sports movies.
Yeah, I mean, Million Dollar Baby, again, is one of those that's a good movie, but Best Picture, I don't know. I would rather have seen either The Aviator win that or Ray.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let us know if you agree or not. Send us a tweet or Facebook message and let us know what you think.
Let us know what your opinion is on the most overrated movies. Or let us know if you agree or disagree. I know everybody probably disagrees with me with No Country for Old Men. I always feel like I'm putting my neck on the chopping block with that one.
I know. That's why I thought it would be fun. Like, you know, open it up.
It's like
fire away. Send us your tweets and Facebook messages.
But it's like you with Lord of the Rings. Like, you understand. Like, I understand. I didn't see it that way.
I mean, there you go.
Hey, that's the thing about art. It's all about personal preference.
That's right. Yeah.
Heads, tails, especially alive, dead.
But especially comedies, because, you know, to go back to our original starting point with Tootsie, you know, named the second funniest film of all time. Well, I mean, what's funny to you isn't going to be funny to me, and what's funny to me isn't going to be funny to you. I mean, comedy is very subjective, so I mean, I figure that's one of the toughest to try and nail down a best comedy list.
It is, right.
Like, we love Tommy Boy.
Oh, my God. It's like the worst movie ever, but I love that movie.
Yeah, critics railed on it.
Mel Brooks movies get average reviews, and I think they're some of the best comedies ever, the Mel Brooks films.
Yeah, so go figure.
Yeah, comedies, you have to judge them on a different scale.
Yeah.
You can't lump them together. You can't compare a comedy to The Godfather. Say, oh, well, The Godfather's a great movie. And
that's why I like the Golden Globes. You know, they split the best drama nominees and the best comedy, actors musical, in a comedy nominees. That's a good system.
Yeah, because I think
Your performance in a drama is much different than your performance in a comedy.
Okay, so for instance, I think Sacha Baron Cohen won for Borat.
Borat, yeah, he won for Borat, the wackiest movie ever.
So look, to play that role, to stay in that accent, to stay in that frame of mind, all while it's all unscripted, or most of it is, that is incredible acting talent. So if you put that up against a drama, obviously the drama is going to win 99.99% of the time, but you can't ignore the fact that that was a phenomenal performance.
Yeah.
So to separate them, like you said, that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. So props to Golden Globes.
Anyway, that was an awesome conversation.
Well, there you go. That's what we have in the entertainment entree. That was a really good one. I liked it.
A lot of informed debate and analysis. I really like that.
Yeah. I thought, and you know, we put our necks on the line. If you agree or disagree, let us know.
On Twitter, @TheCrispyNoodle, or on Facebook.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Yeah, there you go. Do all the things that Facebook does and let us know. All right. So now it's time for one of the wackiest segments that you will ever hear on a podcast. Am I right?
The reason why everyone sticks around till the end.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
This is so bad.
Mike said that in a warm-up to the show.
Well, do you want to explain why I said it so weird?
It was an echo going on in the soundboard.
I can't talk when there's an echo.
Yeah, and there was an echo going on in the soundboard, and he just exaggerated the so.
This is so bad.
Sound drunk.
I did.
I think that is you drunk.
Probably. You know what? We've been lying. That was actually just us drunk. This is so bad. I like the defeated tone at the end. Bad. It's like... It's like I've just given up anyway. So let's hear the first article. I'm anxious to hear these because you were laughing like crazy earlier.
Yeah, I got to admit, I love finding these odd news stories. It's one of my favorite parts of preparing for this podcast.
He was printing them out and he was just laughing to himself.
Well, here we go. Our first one starts in Philadelphia.
Oh.
We're starting right here in Philly.
Right in our backyard, the city of brotherly love.
Well, you might want to call it the city of trash.
Uh-oh.
Because mounds of trash prevented authorities from being able to immediately determine how bats, cats, and rats were stuck inside a North Philadelphia home over the weekend.
Seriously? They all just happen to rhyme?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on. Somebody planned that.
Okay. It was my second shot at a rap career, all right?
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
Well, no, this is a serious story. Over the weekend, authorities were called to, quote, a poorly ventilated house where they found a hoarding homeowner in North Philly unconscious in her home.
Oh, my gosh.
So far, the cops have been able to rescue 5 sick but living cats, and they found 4 dead ones in her home.
Oh, my gosh.
The spokesperson for the Philadelphia Society of the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals told news reporters that there were surely more survivors and authorities have set humane traps to catch any remaining cats, rats, and bats. The mounds of trash have prevented authorities from getting an exact count of what is in the house. The woman who lived there used plastic Tupperware bins stacked 10 to 12 feet tall and used them as litter boxes.
Wait, what?
So she kept the poop from the cat and the bats and the rats in Tupperware bins that were stacked 10 to 12 feet high.
How the hell tall is the room? She's stacking them 12 feet high.
Yeah.
And why do you have that much cat, rat, and bat poop. Are you like planning on fertilizing the biggest garden in the world?
Well, trees and limbs were growing out of the gutters there.
There you go.
Drywall had peeled off of the structure that she lived in. The spokesperson said, the building is horrible. Everything is covered in animal waste.
Oh,
the whole
gosh.
Floor was covered. It's hard to believe that animals and a human being lived in there.
Look.
She also added that spiders, wild bats, and rats had also infested the house. The search for any surviving animals in the building will be a several-day operation. The Department of Licenses and Inspections have condemned the property and have declared that the home must be demolished within 30 days. It's yeah. that bad.
Just destroy it. At that point, there's no saving it.
No.
Look, when your crap smells that bad that the paint is peeling off the walls, I thought that only happened in cartoons.
No.
And oh, my gosh.
10 to 12 feet high of Tupperware bins with cat poop.
If I were inspecting that house, I would walk in, look around, nope, and walk right back out.
Just nope.
Lady, you're unconscious, but you're going to have to deal with it yourself.
This is so bad. That's you as an inspector walking into the house.
Okay, we lied again. That was when I inspected that house.
This is so bad.
The smell was making me woozy and I couldn't talk is what it was. That's hard. And that was in Philly.
Yeah. So
North Philly.
It's North Philly. Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's North Philly.
So we can just disown them now?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It is. It is horrible though. That's crazy.
It's sad, but also I don't understand why somebody would do that. It doesn't make any sense
to me.
It's
a hoarding disorder.
It is. They have whole TV shows devoted to it. So
yeah. All right, you ready for the next story?
Yep.
All right. The rhubarb chutney in Margaret Goodwin's fridge was the bomb. Literally.
Okay.
A 66-year-old Margaret Goodwin received the rhubarb chutney from a friend, and she put it into her fridge in the hopes of enjoying it later. But it turns out that the rhubarb chutney fermented for hours and gave off enough methane gas to cause an explosion that blew the door off of her fridge, lifted the ceiling, and left cracks in the top of her house wall, living room, and porch.
Oh, my God.
Goodwin was asleep in her home when the blast happened. She said, if I had been standing in the way, it would probably have killed me. The noise was deafening, even in my own bedroom, and I went to investigate. I wasn't sure what happened at first. We don't have gas in the building, but it was obvious something out of the ordinary had happened. I was quite shaken up.
Oh, my God. I can just imagine her, like, walking into the kitchen and it's just... Oh, no. Is this our school of mines?
It's something, apparently. Apparently, they're not using mines anymore. They're using rhubarb chutneys.
Rhubarb chutney.
At first, Goodwin thought that a gas main had exploded, but fire officials who investigated the blast later discovered that the culprit was indeed the homemade rhubarb chutney that she had been given 5 days earlier.
See that, kids? Finish the leftovers or they will explode and destroy your house. Wait, why did she think that it was a gas main if the door of her fridge was blown off? Like, clearly it originated from the refrigerator, right?
The Daily Mail reported that as it fermented in the fridge, the chutney gave off methane gas, which can be explosive when mixed with the surrounding air molecules.
So what made it explode, though, in the fridge?
The methane gas.
Just, it was such a high concentration, it just blew up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Other recipients of the explosive rhubarb chutney have been warned to remove it from their fridges. So, if you got rhubarb chutney, you might want to get rid of it before it explodes.
You just hear the neighbors talking, hey, you know that welcoming gift Barbara down the street gave us? Yeah, it's a bomb.
Here you go. Hope you have many years at the house.
Welcome to the neighborhood. It's a lovely place.
Do you have annoying neighbors? Do you have someone who's annoying? You just need to get rid of them as soon as possible, but not have any sort of legal connection to you?
Why don't you welcome them to the neighborhood with Barbara's patented rhubarb chutney bomb pudding thing? What the heck is
rhubarb chutney?
Rhubarb is like a plant thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a vegetable?
Yeah.
Or a root? A root.
I think it's a root. Oh, here we go. Rhubarb chutney is sweet and tart, and it's used as a condiment with meats and poultry.
I feel like that was a Jeopardy answer.
What is a refrigerator bomb?
This kitchen condiment is used with meat and poultry. It can also be an explosive weapon.
What is a rhubarb chutney bomb?
That is correct. Yay! You have control of the big board. All right, you ready for the next story?
You know, I just got to say, that sounds like something they could test on Mythbusters.
Yeah, there you go. Email Mythbusters.
I might. I would be interested in that.
You ready for the next story?
Oh, yeah.
When you make a promise to your God, your late father, and your wife to quit smoking, you should actually quit. Turkish man Ibrahim Yücel wanted to keep his promise so badly to his God, to his late father, and to his wife to quit smoking that he crafted a medieval-style cage to wear on his head so that he can't smoke. Every morning when he gets out of bed, he locks his head in a cage and gives the keys to his wife so he can't have a smoke at work. The 42-year-old from Kütahya says that he's been trying to quit since his father died of lung cancer. He's been smoking 2 packs a day for more than 20 years, and he's failed time and time again in his attempt to kick the habit. So he came up with this idea to cage his head after he saw a motorcycle helmet and used more than 130 feet of copper wire to make the contraption. Yücel can breathe and see, but he can't get his hands anywhere near his head, which prevents him from smoking.
How does he eat?
He can sneak in crackers and sip water through the wires, and that's it.
So if he can sip water, like, out of a straw, then why couldn't he smoke a cigarette?
Well, there's the image if you want to look at it. It's an actual...
What the hell?
Yeah!
It's
an actual cage around his head. He looks like a dog that needs to be prevented from scratching his head or something.
He looks like, I don't know, it looks like some type of futuristic, like, helmet thing. He does know that there's, like, patches that he can wear, right? That help people quit smoking.
But he wants to quit it on his own.
What about the gum? So, he said, I really want to quit smoking, so he skips all the other steps and goes straight to encasing my head in a cage.
Yep. Yeah! Despite all my smoking, I am still just a head in a cage. There you go. Now I'm not smoking. There you go.
And we got her singing in for this episode.
Oh, there it is. More singing. I didn't realize that.
We just can't stop singing.
Thank you, Smashing Pumpkins.
I'm just...
There you go. Smashing Pumpkins providing appropriate music for us on that one.
I'm baffled. What the hell happened to his arm in this picture?
He also has a broken arm, apparently.
Did he break his arm making the helmet? Or did he break his arm to stop himself from smoking?
Yeah.
Look, when
it got
you,
to that point.
When you have to resort to breaking your arm and then putting your head in a cage, I think you might have a problem. Either that or just keep smoking.
You might be better off just keep smoking.
You might be better off with the smoke, yeah.
If it's that bad. All right, and you ready for our last story?
Yep.
So, women are full of secrets.
Right.
Christine Harris pleaded no contest last week to charges including methamphetamine possession with intent to distribute, gun possession by a convicted felon, and bringing contraband into jail. Harris was arrested in March after a drug dog led cops to her car and a search of her vehicle, which uncovered meth, drug paraphernalia, and a semi-automatic pistol. But when she was sentenced to jail, Harris told the female officer she did not want to lower her underwear for a contraband search because it was inappropriate, according to the police report. She ended up complying, though, and the officer noted weird things down there. The woman, Christine Harris, hid a gun in her hoo-ah. And methamphetamine drugs in her butt.
Wow. Man, you are desperate. She was desperate. I love how you did your little Al Pacino impression there, too.
Hoo-ah! Potomac County District Attorney says that this is a very dangerous place to carry a loaded firearm.
Bang! I have to go to the hospital.
If it goes off, it only goes off in one place.
Hoo-ah!
The officer also removed two clear baggies containing a large amount of methamphetamines from her buttocks.
Wow. I'd like to see that police report. Pulled the gun out of... You're not going to believe this, Bob.
The local newspaper ran the headline, quote, "The old caboose pistol." Oh, my gosh. Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh.
So, and then as a follow-up to the story, the local news anchors had to cover this at the 11 o'clock news hour.
Oh, no.
So this is news anchor WGN having to cover the compelling case of Christine Harris in jail. Let's play the clip.
Police in Oklahoma say they made a bizarre discovery when searching a woman in their custody. A drug-sniffing dog let officers know she needed to be searched. That's when a female officer noticed the handle of a revolver sticking out from inside the woman.
It was a five-shot revolver. It was loaded. And as she turned her around, she saw more plastic baggies, larger plastic baggies, wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
What?
Authorities say the woman has a long criminal record. She now faces drug possession charges and charges for trying to smuggle a gun into jail.
Come on. Who doesn't have that?
The old caboose pistol. Everybody has one.
What are you getting all worked up over? Dave, don't knock it till you've tried it.
Isn't that a news report?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there. Yeah. I'm sorry, we're getting off track.
I know someone that can hold a machine gun in there.
What the hell?
That's from the classy people at WGN Chicago.
And they were all fired.
Oh my gosh. I know someone who could fit a machine gun up there.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting up.
And he says it so proudly, too.
Yeah.
Dave, don't knock it till you've tried it.
Did you say caboose?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
He sounds like,
oh my god.
And I love it. He said, don't knock it till you try.
Do you have experience, Bob? Whatever. Over to Bob with the weather. And there you go. A woman caught with a caboose pistol. There you go. And that's the non-fortune cookie odd news for today.
Oh man.
Wow.
Oh boy.
I can't believe this. That guy said it on the air.
I know women who could fit a machine gun up there.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's just so confident.
It sounds like he's just transitioning to another
news
story.
Yeah, no big whoop. Boy, I thought our transitions were bad. Wow.
And she could fit a machine gun up there. Anyway, over to sports.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
How unprofessional, though.
Woo.
That was Oklahoma?
No, Chicago. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's in Oklahoma. Maybe I misheard.
The woman is from Oklahoma.
Oh, the woman's from Oklahoma.
The news anchors that reported it were from WGN.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. Oh,
classy Chicago.
Mike is speechless.
The machine gun quote really threw me for a loop.
All right, well, when Mike is speechless and we're talking about machine guns up the hoo-ah, I think it's time to end the show.
I just can't stop thinking about it. He sounded so proud and so professional saying it. And I like how their euphemism, they said, a pistol sticking out of the woman.
Yeah.
Hoo-ah!
All right, well, there you go. That's what I got. Yeah, we're speechless.
It's time. Just like they transitioned out, we have to end the show now. Before we get any further off topic.
And there you go, the celebration music. It's time to end the show. What a crazy show, Mike.
Crazy doesn't begin to describe it. Not when we end with a line like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, if you want to follow more of the Crispy Noodle, make sure to check out the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. Become fans of The Crispy Noodle page on Facebook. And make sure you follow us on YouTube and subscribe to the iTunes feed so that you get the latest Crispy Noodle podcasts when they get released.
That's right. Downloaded for free straight to your computer. We offer up the most interesting stories in sports, entertainment, and odd news.
Obviously.
Obviously. And whatever the heck else we want to talk about.
Yeah. If you want to follow us individually, I am at Rich Liebig, R-I-C-H-L-I-E-B-I-G.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, M-I-K-E-Y-C-O-S-T-A-N-Z-O.
Well, there you go. I think that'll do it for us.
Yep.
That's going out on a high note. Woo! Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah!
Yep. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys later.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Give me my juice box! I need my juice box! I said, give me it now!